Hello, and welcome to the Leadership Deep Dive Show. I'm Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my friend and partner, David Landuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret.
So, David and I wanted to talk today about intuition. And this topic came up. We actually were interviewing a guest who expressed a belief that I've never heard anybody say before, but it made me so curious, and I've thought about it a lot. But it was a person who said that he believed that intuition is something that you're either born with or you're not born with, you know. And I believe that that's true of a sense of direction, but I'd never heard that anybody might think of intuition as something that you either have or you don't have. And I think it's such an interesting topic. So David and I really wanted to explore that
We wanted to take a
today.
deeper dive, so
A
to
deeper, we
speak.
want to take a deeper dive into,
Yeah,
like, geez,
into this
is
leadership
intuition?
superpower. Yeah,
Yeah.
this leadership superpower, and we are going to explore it a little bit. I think we have an opinion. I think Margaret and I
I
both
for
have an
sure
opinion.
have an opinion, but
Right.
I want to explore it at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well. We share an opinion that everyone has intuition. That's our thesis. That's
Yes.
our opinion.
And I'm going to say, like, as a biological imperative, I believe that humans, as pack animals who were also, who are also prey, right? When we first began to evolve, we got eaten and there were a lot of dangers out there. And I believe that among packs of animals, we must have intuition for survival. So that's why I believe that we all start with some form of
Yes.
intuition. And should we define kind of what we mean by that?
Yeah, I think so. It's let's see, the
David, can you
definite.
define it? I'm having that reality bites moment of, like, irony. Well, like, I know what it is, but
Well,
can I
you
define it for
intuitively
me?
know what intuition is.
Yeah, totally. I totally, yes.
It's the ability to know something without rational analytical thinking or deductive reasoning. That's
Or
one
being
way of.
told. Right? Or
Yeah,
being explicitly told. It's like just your way of knowing stuff
It's a
that you
way of
shouldn't know
knowing.
based on what science understands about what we know or don't know.
Well, I like what you say about science, Margaret, because I'm gonna try to recall a quote from Albert Einstein. At least it was attributed to him, and what he said. This was, of course, one of the most rational analytical thinkers of the 20th century, if not the most rational analytical thinker of the 20th century. He said something like the rational analytical mind is a faithful servant, but the intuitive mind is a sacred gift. Right.
Oof, that's pretty
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe I remember that.
I know. Where was that
Yeah.
filed? Jeez. Okay. That's great.
But
Yeah.
his, general theory and special theory of relativity, while he worked them out in mathematical form. I think when he was taught, these things came to him in an intuitive way. It was not through deductive reasoning that he got the inspiration. By the way, another word that's closely aligned to intuition is inspiration. In spirit.
Yeah.
Or if we were to bring in a religious context, you're actually this, the spirit inspires you as opposed
Right.
to you rationally, analytically deducing something. You're
Right.
inspired to do something or not do something, as we might talk about here.
Yeah, and we hear about that all the time, right? Like, even people who problem solve in front of words or numbers or in meetings, conversation, often they have to leave that setting and they go for a walk or they stand in the shower or they start cooking or go draw, right? And, like, when they let their mind not focus 100% on that, that is often when people report that they intuitively knew which direction to go or how to solve a
Yes.
problem or, right?
Yes.
So I think
Right. So there's been a lot
that's
of
true.
good neuroscience around that and flow states. But the idea of sh grappling or struggling with a problem for a long period of time, trying to deduce the, inductive, or even that word inductive reasoning has that intuitive aspect to it, or deductive reasoning, and then walking away from it and then having the aha moment, right? You don't necessarily have to, that's not the only way intuition works. Like, you don't necessarily have to grapple with something and then it will come to you. It could just
Right.
come, it can just come to you. And this is the,
Right. And
this
it
is
might
the,
never come to you. Actually,
it might
sometimes
never.
your intuition doesn't have the answer for you.
Sometimes it doesn't.
And you just have to
Sometimes
make a
it doesn't.
choice and just see what happens. Right?
Right.
You'll fuck around and find out, see where it goes.
And the thing about intuition and the way we were trained, Margaret, at least in the coactive world, is to, you get some sort of sense or feeling or even an idea or a color or a vision or a picture. It could come in many different ways.
Right.
And we were encouraged as leaders to actually blurt it out in words, whatever that feeling, sense, picture, word is. Do you remember
Right.
that?
Yeah, well, and it might be like, I feel like there are spiders crawling on me right now, or
Right.
I'm seeing a cloud, or right, like
Right. Right.
it could be pretty random. So it could be a
It could
felt
be
sense of
random.
something. So that's, yeah, like we were talking before, like just to get a little bit more concrete, you were sharing about being in the very snowless mountains last week and how intuition played out for you. So I would love to just give a little bit more of a concrete example of just how your
Yes.
relationship, just maybe one for each of us, what your
Well, this.
relationship with intuition looks like right now.
Well, my relationship with intuition, we've talked about this on the show before, is that I feel like it was overshadowed by the conditioning that I got studying math, physics, engineering, business, all this left
Yeah.
brain activity that we get from the educational industrial complex. And I had
Yeah.
to consciously recapture it or take the shadow away or shed some light on a different way of knowing things. So,
Yeah. And what I love about what you're saying is, you know, I really think, in deference to our guest and his belief, you know, that we launched this conversation, I think many of us don't get a chance to celebrate the intuition. You know, let's assume that we believe that we are born with intuition, but many of us grow up starting sometimes from an incredibly early age where our intuition is so devalued or so not helpful, whether it is, you know, in our family of origin or whether it's the school that you end up going to in elementary school, you know, like that we stuff it away so that we start to feel like somebody who has no intuition because we get out of relationship with it. And that's
Yes.
what you're talking about. And that feels like a powerful experience that many, many people have.
Right. So it can give you that because of your family of origin, because of our industrial educational system, it can feel like by the time you're an adult
Or by the time
that
you're
you,
10.
or by the time you're 10, exactly,
Yeah.
that, oh, I wasn't born with it. So, I mean, we
Right.
can, so let's just set aside this, are you born with it or not, and for a moment, and just talk about how we might notice our intuition as opposed to noticing the more ruminative left brain, going rolling the problem over in your mind over and over and over again. So I was out in Colorado last week, a little bit west of where you live, up in the mountains, and it's been a very thin
Lean.
snow year, very
Yeah.
lean snow year. Now, a couple weeks prior, I had been out with both my daughters to the same mountain, Keystone, Colorado, and we did get out, and it was like spring conditions, and it's not ideal, but it was very nice. It was enjoyable, and I went back with my wife for her Easter break, and I thought, well, I'm gonna get out one more time. All right, that was kind of my teleological brain, my goal
You had a
seeking
goal
brain.
set for
Yeah,
yourself.
I was like, I'm gonna get out. Now, in the past, so I went back, and it had gotten a bit thinner, but the couple of days I was there was some overnight snow, like 1, 2 inches, and people were up on the mountain and I could see that, and it was a bit colder, so it was definitely going to be crunchy and icy and not so slushy. But the couple of days where it had snowed overnight, I got up early with the intention of, and I just didn't feel it. Like I didn't have the urge. We talk about in our leadership program, we talk about having an urge and acting on it. And urges, I wasn't feeling that urge to go out. Now I old David with his rational analytical mind, not using his intuitive part of his mind, would have said, well, you paid for your Epic Pass and you should go out and get that one day in, and so you could break even on your pass, and forced myself to go out. And there was a part of me that was what was going on in my brain during this time. Like, I should go out. I should go out. I really should go out. And then there was this other part of my brain that was like, I just don't really feel like going out. I just don't. And then you said something very interesting when I was relaying this story to you, is that in the spring, when the base has gone down, there's a lot of roots and rocks that
Tree stumps are
get ex
infamous.
yeah and then it gets snowed over and you can have a very serious accident. And that was not my intuitive, that would be a good reason to explain why my intuition was telling me not to go out, but it didn't show up that way. It just showed up as a feeling like, no, I'm just gonna stay home and it's nice
No,
and
thank
cozy.
you.
And we had the fire on, and Lillian was reading her book, and I was doing some work. And then we went over to the gym and sat in the hot tub in the steam room, and it was just lovely,
You didn't feel the need to ski, which is a fascinating, right? Like it's a different way that intuition shows up, which is, I don't really want to do this one, or I don't want to get in this Uber, or I don't want to, right? Like whatever, just feel like respecting. And if we were in leadership blurting out, like, I don't know, a shadow crossed across me, and I just felt a like, I don't want to do this right now. And that's a
So
powerful manifestation of intuition.
it is, and I've never really thought about it that way until recently, when we were having this conversation, is the intuition usually is to do something. It's usually we I think we remember it better when we're like, you have that intuitive urge and then it turns out to be correct. But when you have sort of, it works in the other way, where you have an intuition not to do something, and that's was really revealing in the conversation with you today, that that's another way that intuition shows up. Like, no, don't go down that street, right? So you never know, and then you listen to that. Now, unless somebody gets shot on that street like minutes after you made that choice, you really never know if your intuition was guiding you or not, right? But you just have to sometimes trust it.
And I'm not even saying, I just want to be really clear, like your intuition may or may not have been saying, like, don't ski, you're gonna have an accident. It might have been a knowing, like, you know what, actually sitting in the living room with my, lovely wife and taking time together in the hot tub and spending the time that way serves me better, right? I mean, it might have been that, because I don't want people to confuse intuition with reading the future, because I really don't think at all that that's what we're talking about.
Well, there is a form of intuition that
There is a form of intuition that
foresight,
alerts us to
foresight.
danger.
Yeah. And a lot of leaders, one of the qualities of a leader, especially Steve Jobs, by the way, who famously trusted his intuitive urges, he had great foresight.
Worked pretty
And he
well for
talked about
him.
that. What's that? Yeah, it worked
It went
out.
pretty well for him. I mean, for most of his life.
But I like what you're saying. I do struggle with, you brought up something, you didn't say it this way, but I'm gonna kind of say it the way I experience. Sometimes I struggle with, is this fear or is this my intuition guide? Like if I'm not gonna do something. So for example, in the example of, even though I wasn't thinking this way, like I'm, because I didn't know about the conditions until you shared it with me, but it wasn't fear that was driving me. But many times, I question whether is this fear that's stopping me or causing me not to do something, or is it an intuition? And I'm still working with that one.
Right. Sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference. Like, am I being wise or am I being scared?
Yes, it
It's
is
really
true.
hard to know.
It sometimes it is. Now, I think I'm getting, I think with my left brain, I think that I'm getting more in discerning, in knowing, like, oh no, that's your fear talking, or oh no, that's your intuition talking, so you better listen to it.
I think when we get like super somatic, like fear actually feels different. Like we get
Feels
sensations in
different.
our body related to fear. And it doesn't always mean that you should force yourself to do something that you're scared of either, by the way, right? But like what comes up for me, just since we're talking about you, like, am I going to enter this tournament or not enter this tournament with jujitsu? Like there might have been a situation for you, right?
True, true. I'm, struggling with that even now, having had a total knee replacement. There is one world championship that I haven't won, and that I came in second before I had my knee replacement. And I'm pretty sure it's my ego that wants to go and compete in that tournament and win it. But my intuition is telling me, no, David, do not do
Do
that.
not do that.
Not worth the risk. So that could be another thing, like discerning between your ego, the voice of your ego, and the voice of your intuition that might be warning you about something.
Yeah, that comes up for me sometimes when my urge is to say something in a conversation or in front of a group of people. And like on one hand, it could be this incredibly wise, intuitive, like the space needs to hear this, or I like by saying this thing out loud, it's going to change the conversation that we're having, but it feels important to say. But then weighed against like, or am I just saying that to look smart, or because I want to be right about something, or because I like the sound of my voice, or like there's a lot of reasons. And it is sometimes it takes a lot of practice. I would
Takes
say
a lot of
like you,
practice.
I'm still on a journey of practicing.
But I think you're farther along. This is an acknowledgement. I do think you're farther along, much farther along in it, in this than I am. And my tendency is to blurt and then just see what happens. And I think you're I'm so my learning edge, my growth edge is to maybe pause more and listen and then blurt
And
or
mine
not
is
blurt.
the others, like actually, if there's some chance that this is in service of the space or that this actually comes from a more intuitive place, like my practice is go ahead and say it, go ahead and say it.
So we
But
are encouraged wherever you are on this spectrum, and maybe that's a good word for this. Maybe there is a spectrum of intuition, as opposed to it being binary, you either have it or you don't have it. Maybe there's a spectrum, and we were encouraged to, using your example, to put some words into the space based on the intuition you were having, and then take full responsibility. So you act on the urge, right? And then you take responsibility for what happens in the space. So that's a good model. But I want to turn to you now. You also had something going on last week, and where you were sensing some things with a group of people, but you had to kind of keep it in, and then it all kind of unfolded for you later.
Yeah, so I talk all the time. I mean, sometimes it's with clients, but just with grown-ups of every shape and size. And here's something that tends to be true, is that people who grew up in families with any level of dysfunction, whether that looked like a parent just being, emotionally volatile, or somebody who was a mean drinker, who would come home from the bars and right, like, but any time that a parent presented danger with a capital D or a little D, and again, it's more obvious with, if you grew up with an alcoholic father who came home from the bars and looked for somebody to hit, that's a very obvious one. But there's many, many gradients below that of volatility and unpredictability in ways. And anyway, those people tend to develop this sixth sense, which is very much part of intuition, because they need to. I mean, those people will report to you, like, when they came home from school, they could put their hand on the doorknob and know, like, if they should turn around and leave because things were a mess in the house, or if it was safe to go inside. And I do think, but so many people don't actually claim that and the gift, right? I mean, if you had to grow up in a dysfunctional family, like, there is actually a huge gift of being a really, really supersonic space reader. So I say that, and I grew up in a family with just a lot. There was anger and joy, like, everything was big, everything was sort of supersized in my family. And so I developed my own form of space reading, and my parents could certainly, they could lose their tempers with the best of them. And even though that was rarely came at me observing that, but I was always feeling the barometric pressure, like, how it drops before a storm, and I can feel that in a room. So now, as I perambulate through my life, did you hear me use that word? It's not a good word. I didn't even think I was
Ooh,
going to use that today. Yes,
that's
as
a
I meander in.
we are just throwing out vocabulary
I
words
speak
today.
words here. I know. I often, will walk into a situation, even with people that I know a little bit or people that I know a lot, and just, I just know things. Like, I just know. But I think, for those of us who say, oh, I don't really have a lot of intuition, which, if you had talked to me like 8 years ago, I would have told you, I don't think I'm a very intuitive person, which is funny because now I think of myself as like, boom, like, all the way at the
Well,
other end.
and you've had a lot of training, so I think you're involved with a training program right now, right? That's did you I'm not sure if you registered yourself into that somatic
Oh yeah, it's a
coaching.
somatic thing. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. We'll talk about
It
that
is.
one of these yeah, it's
I
really
want to hear more
rewarding to
about
talk.
that. But also, you've done a lot of work in the emotional field. You've done a number of training programs. Maybe you want to share with the audience that I think has heightened this awareness. So this is something, again, we're talking about, if we're talking about a spectrum here, which maybe it's it, that's maybe where we're coming from, is that it, you can either ignore this capability, or you can start to train it and practice it, which is where I
Claim
think
it,
you claim it.
train it, and it is a superpower for fundraisers. It is a superpower for parents. It is a superpower for leaders. It's to be able to walk into a meeting and just feel what's going on, is a powerful thing, to give yourself permission to be like, yeah, okay, I can do this. If I just give myself a second and invite my intuition to work, I get to know some things about what's going on.
So another way of thinking about this, there are, I'm sure, some folks in the audience that are like, oh yeah, I totally have this, and I use it all the time. And there are other people in the audience that say, what are you talking about? I get all my goodies from, the rational analytical way of doing things. And the invitation that was offered to us in our coach training was to sometimes you can put a word to it, and sometimes you can't, but whatever it is, you blurt it out, And then you're not attached to it being right or wrong
Right.
necessarily. Yeah. That's another thing that's very squishy about it.
Right. And sometimes you blurt it internally, like you just let yourself acknowledge that you've had this feeling. Like it doesn't actually have to be something that's said out loud, but it can be in certain contexts out loud. Sometimes you're just clocking it, right? Like, oh, right. You understand things. And for me, it's been a source of being able to have incredible compassion, like really expanding my capacity for compassion and empathy for other people, for not making people wrong when they do things that I don't like, but just understanding, like feeling into where this came from.
Well, and I want to say something about you use the word empathy, and for sure now the science on the neuroscience on the
The
circuitry in the
mirroring,
brain, the mirror neurons circuitry is well understood now. So you can put two people in an MRI or two MRIs, where they have no visual cues, and give one person a word that has an emotion attached to it, and the other person's brain will light up in the exact same area with that emotion without any verbal or visual communication. So this is very well understood now. And again, to use that word empathy, and some people's empathy circuitry is broken. It doesn't work. And these are psychopaths and other forms of sociopath pathology. But when you can feel someone's what they're feeling, that's empathy, whether it's sadness or happiness or a whole range of things. And that's a form of intuition, I believe, that would live in the land of what we're talking
Absolutely, because
about.
it's something and there's like, well, okay, we're starting to understand the science, but you know
Right.
things like I think everybody has had the experience, like if you've been on the phone with somebody, especially, if you have a child and you're parenting and they're calling you from wherever, and like they're going to cry before they start crying, right? Like you can just feel it, and you can feel it in your heart, or you're at the airport and this level of sensitivity where like, well, I'm not anxious, like I trust the physics of planes and I checked my bag, so I'm not worried about over, like I'm like authentically not anxious, but I find my pulse rate going up because other people are anxious,
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So that's certainly, it's like a form of where empathy and sensitivity and intuition sort of,
All merge,
all
right?
turn into a
There
big
was,
sticky ball.
there is a, so I've, as I started to recover this ability and sharpen it, if you want to call it a sixth sense, then I'm working on sharpening my sixth sense. There was a book that I read some years ago called The Intuitive Way by Penny Pierce that was helpful for me. It's definitely a woo-woo kind of book. And she talks and she sort of classifies the different types of empathy, like clear seeing, clairvoyance, clear hearing, clairaudience, telepathy, which, by the way, my lovely wife Lillian and I have known this ever since we met over almost 30 years ago. We have a way of, like, I'll say something and she'll be like, get out of my head. I was just thinking that same exact thing. So if you've ever been with someone over long, and we had that very early on in our relationship over long distances, you'll get a call from someone, or you'll call someone and they'll say, I was just thinking about you. Now, this happens too often for it to just be chance. It just it it's just, in my opinion, and it happens very frequently with my wife and me, especially if we're in a calm. So this is another thing, like on vacation, when we're not all caught up in the particles of life and the doing all the rational analytical work that makes our civilization run right now, we have more intuitive hits with each other. Yeah, we do.
I imagine that's true. Sure.
I
Yeah,
noticed that like last
lost
week.
a little bit. Yeah.
Like, I'll say something like, "Oh, whatever. Do you want to go over to Highside and have barbecue?" I was just thinking that we should go over to Highside and have some
Have
barbecue.
barbecue.
Seriously, it just
I've heard
happens.
about the nachos, just saying. Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you do go to Frisco, Dillon, Keystone area, go to I think it's called Highside Brewery, and have the shredded smoked pork nachos. They are outstanding.
Yeah. So I feel like as we kind of close this conversation, something for people to try, like believe that you have intuition, even if maybe it was, beaten out of you as a child in whatever forms, and just, gosh, it really just feel into it. I don't, do you have another offering for listeners?
So if you're on the end of the spectrum where you don't think you have it, the invitation is to just start listening whether it's a feeling or you have some sort of sense, and
Right. Like
notice.
what might be available to you if you just let yourself believe, if you gave yourself permission to believe that you do in fact maybe have access to this thing.
Yeah, and that's a great inquiry just for those of you in the audience. Now, if you're kind of in the middle of on the spectrum here, and you've already been experimenting with this, the invitation is to just keep going and do it more and more, right? And just put those things out into the world. A lot of folks, including my wife Lillian, will edit or withhold their intuitive urges. So if you're one of those, the invitation is to just put it out there more.
Right. So that you don't find yourself later saying, well, I knew that would happen. Right. Well, great. If you knew it would happen, like speak up a little sooner, maybe, something bad happens and they're like, oh, well,
And
I knew.
if you're like Margaret and you're way over on the high end of the spectrum, I think and you're leading a team or working with people, my invitation is to encourage others to use their intuition. Yeah.
Right, to join in that space. Yeah.
Join in and bring some others along with you and help them sharpen this sixth sense. All
Yeah.
right, well, there's some challenges for the audience. So
That was a good woo-woo one, David.
Today was a good woo-woo one. Go put it into practice, and this will be up on LinkedIn, and that's where Margaret and I do a lot of our connecting with other leaders. So, we'll put a comment in the comment section and let us know how it's going.
Yeah.
All
See you
right.
next time.
See you next time.